This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Tony Ayez, Vice President of Splunk Federal. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Well, we've got an interesting title for a company here, Splunk. There are obviously some listeners that have been known Splunk for many years and some who haven't, and that's what we're going to do today. We're kind of expose the federal government to this whole concept of Splunk, S-P-L-U-N-K. But before we begin, a lot of listeners kind of listen. They go, well, what's Tony's background? What qualifies him to even talk about this? Tony, maybe you can talk a little bit about your background and how you wound up here with Splunk Federal.
Great. Well, I'm a product of Silicon Valley. I've worked with a lot of disruptive new technologies and primarily background spaces in around middleware and application management space, working at companies such as BA Systems, which is Oracle, and companies such as Wiley Technology. And really kind of the focus area that I had is how do you take and solve the problem of finding the needle in the haystack, problems that you have in your infrastructure. And really coming to Splunk really was a was exciting because it's one of the few companies that can do so much without creating many silos across the data center.
When you used the word disruptive, I kept thinking of my fourth grade teacher. That's how she described me. John Gilroy was disruptive in class. But now it's almost positive to be disruptive, isn't it?
You have to be in IT.
Yeah, I had Ursula Nunn, so it wasn't very positive back in fourth grade to be disruptive. So what Splunk does, S-P-L-U-N-K with a greater than sign, it works with data logs. To sum it up maybe in a nutshell, it's a log management system or a log management solution. Is that a good description?
Yeah, pretty much. So first of all, Splunk, the term comes from spelunking, digging in caves, cave exploration. And what it does is its goal is to really make machine data usable for all types of users, whether you're an IT analyst to a business analyst, and make sense of the data in real time. So we provide an operational intelligence solution that allows you to take in lots of different data sets and analyze it in ways that people have not done before. So for example, looking at it from web analytics perspective, looking at it from a cybersecurity perspective to detect anomalies and other strange things that might be happening in an environment, and quickly also allow you to develop reports and real-time dashboards that gives all types of different users visibility.
In public speaking, what they say is you're supposed to make your butterflies fly in formation. Mm-hmm. And I think what Splunk does, it takes chaotic data and says, okay, let's make some sense of this. And there's all kinds of, and 6 or 7 years ago, 8 years ago when Splunk started, they were dealing with some information. But now in the last few years, all of a sudden we have machines creating data, and there's even more data to worry about than you can even imagine 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's really the big data explosion of what you see out there. We've been doing this for 6, 7 years. I mean, we've taken multi-terabytes of data from various different customers and take it in really seamlessly and with very good performance to allow them to analyze this. So for us, machine data really equals big data. That's what it's really all about. There's a lot of new companies trying to tackle this problem, but we're a single unified solution that allows you to review all of your data from from our data engine in real time. And it makes it really effective. So we have customers in the DoD Intel space that use us for analyzing large data sets from anywhere from cybersecurity use case to really finding out why my applications are performing poorly.
And listeners are aware of Google and Apple. They may not be aware of Splunk, but It's been sold to over one half of the Fortune 100. It's in over 2,000 enterprises. It's in 74 countries. And so it has a value for a wide range of applications, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And especially in the federal agencies, we've been focused on it for the past 4 to 5 years. And they're using us for deep dive forensics investigations and cybersecurity. And folks really like us because it really proves itself. We have a free version of our product on our website that people use. They see that it's actually valuable. And then they try to go expand from there into our enterprise features.
I did a master's degree in Indiana, and in southern Indiana, there's like a lot of limestone caves. And a lot of the students there, on the weekends, they would go spelunking. And so when I first saw this term, I said, it's like I was in graduate school. They'd climb in and do a deep dive and try to find out what's important, what's not important. Now, there are people maybe at the CIO level who may not realize how valuable this is, but if you've ever been in the nuts and grounds and tried to manage a network, and I was one of those guys who was pulling cable through the ceiling and getting all that dust down my neck, so I'm kind of familiar with some of the details there. You can really take a look at one small aspect of your system, a router, and find out what's going on in that specific router and get tons of information on it.
Correct. I mean, our customers call us as the Swiss Army knife. You know, the reports that a lot of C-level folks see as, or reports or information they request usually probably comes from Splunk one way, shape, or form in a lot of the various federal agencies that we work with. Because of the fact that it makes it a lot easier to search and access this information, we have customers that look at it from a perspective of continuous monitoring is a big play for us, looking at it from FISMA. Because of the fact that we can give you not only security views, but as well as operational views. And depending on what shape or form that continuous monitoring takes place down the road, we provide tremendous value for a lot of civilian and DoD agencies.
And you hit the nail on the head. If you look at NIST and Ron Ross and his team up at NIST, they're making a transition to continuous monitoring. All of a sudden, what Splunk does with real-time data, you're just sitting there and they come to you.
Yeah, in the world of IT, really, was one of the conferences, and then they hit it really right on the nail, and they said, look, it's the human versus the machine, and you need to keep up with the volumes of machine data coming in. It's no longer the days that everybody can say, look, I know the important information that I can look at. I got it covered. Well, continuous monitoring changes it and lets you look at it from an operational perspective and security perspective. And right now, I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg of how continuous monitoring could shape down the road, not only just for federal agencies, but for financial services.
And I think what's important about continuous monitoring is I could put a fifth grader in front of a monitor and go, okay, monitor this system. Well, so what? I mean, what are you looking for? I mean, it takes tools like Splunk to figure out, okay, we can train you, we can help you, and this is actually what I want to look for as far as, you know, efficiently preventing bottlenecks through your system. Or, no, I wonder about security. No, I don't worry about wireless security. All of a sudden, you can take the search mechanism and not worry about bottlenecks, not worry about security, just worry about this one small wireless aspect and look at security through a specific, like I said earlier, through just one specific router.
Exactly. So imagine the world of somebody, you're a CIO at a federal agency and you're trying to improve or look at your FISMA reports. Well, you might have received dashboards said you had a green light, did a great job, but what if those systems weren't actually running on the back end that rendered those reports or views that you had? Splunk allows you to let you know that that machine was actually running, that the events and the data that was coming in was in real time, and that you could compare it historically or in real time, and then as well as give you that confidence that say, okay, I know exactly how I'm performing against my compliance mandates.
And I love dashboards. You know, I once had a car that had a dashboard, and it had a gas gauge, and the gas gauge broke. I never knew I was out of gas.
Exactly.
I was in college and I didn't care. But and I think dashboards are fine. And the application is here. If a CIO has a dashboard about security of a system or about bottlenecks in the system, that light may not be enough. Mm-hmm. What you may want to do is drill down and find out exactly what's going on. And I think this is what your organization does. It gives you the tools to drill down with a great degree of specificity.
Exactly. And one thing I want the listeners to take away from this is it allows you to research and analyze your data in real time, but it also has alerting features and reporting features that sometimes people overlook and say, okay, you are the Google for the data center, you need to search things. But we've proven over and over with some of the features that we have in our latest release and priors, but we provide real-time, out-of-the-box search. We allow you to integrate and leverage existing technologies that you may have and let you basically essentially take your investments in those older IT investments to another level.
When I look at Splunk, and if I try to explain it to my daughter who's in college, I'd say, well, you know, in an IT environment, you can just manually, this is very painful, you can manually look at logs. That's one way to do it. Or on the other extreme, you can get some very expensive software, some programs for what they call event management, nothing to do with hotels, but event management. I'm programs like from RSA and maybe from Symantec. And Splunk kind of fits kind of in the middle here, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, think of us as, you know, as I said, the Google for the data center. But to simplify it, really, it says, how do you ask questions of your data? How do you look at it? And previously, you had walls and silos created, all these different layers. You have your servers, you have your applications, you have network gear. And Splunk actually cuts across all those silos. It allows you to give you one view and null to those different types of solutions you have in an environment with a single view.
We get back, talk more about log management and Splunk. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Ayaz, Vice President, Splunk Federal.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
A senior Pentagon official apologized last week to Washington area Muslims for the burning of Qurans at a military base in Afghanistan. Peter Lavoie, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asia and Pacific Security Affairs, said the military is investigating what happened and that all 140,000 coalition troops in Afghanistan are being retrained in the handling of religious materials. I'm J.J. Green.
Every day, EADS North America supports homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe. Over land and water, in our ports and at our points of entry, EADS North America provides critical solutions and systems that protect our borders and coastlines. Our vigilance is unwavering. Our commitment is steadfast. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Hey, Caps fans, it's hockey season, and there's no better time than now to have Slapshot at your next birthday party or special event. Slapshot Grams will liven up your party and bring the fun and exciting bird to you. Each Slapshot Gram includes a great gift bag and personalized Slapshot autograph cards. For more info or to book him for your next event, call 202-266-CAPS or log on to the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCaps.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how Geico actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, Geico saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing a name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th, I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Human Capital Management for Defense is a highly anticipated training conference with over 300 delegates and key speakers, such as Lieutenant General Daryl D. Jones, Deputy Chief of Staff for Manpower, Personnel and Services, U.S. Air Force, Honorable Thomas R. Lamont, Assistant Secretary of the Army, Manpower and Reserve Affairs, and Honorable Juan M. Garcia, Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Manpower and Reserve Affairs. This year's event will be held on March 12th through the 15th at the Sheraton National Hotel in Arlington. For more info, visit hcmdusa.com. Mention code FNR for a 25% 10% discount.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. Welcome back. In the studio today, we have Tony Ayez, Vice President of Splunk Federal. There are some listeners who've known about Splunk for many years. There's some listeners that go, Splunk, is that a sound effect? Or what is S-P-L-U-N-K? Well, it helps with analyzing logs. And the people who have sat down and tried to analyze logs know what a pain in the neck it is. And that's what this tool does. It helps make log analysis much, much easier, especially in the world of the cloud. And I think this is a real advantage for you moving to the cloud, because all your tools fit right perfectly in the cloud, doesn't it?
It does. And especially in the cloud, it's so dynamic. Things change all the time and you need the ability to keep up with that change in real time. The other factor is that you look at unstructured and structured data. One of the key differentiators with Splunk is that we can actually analyze both types of data. And you don't need to do a lot of the pre-parsing and data massaging, if you will, of that data as it's coming in. So it's really built to manage the large cloud provider environments, whether you're doing a private cloud or adhering to some of the FedRAMP guidelines as well for continuous monitoring.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, if you earned your bones, as they say, making machine data accessible, that by definition is not going to be very structured. All of a sudden, now we're in the world of unstructured data with status updates from Facebook and Twitter feeds. All that data is unstructured. So it would make sense that you could accept that as easily as the regular structured stuff from standard vendors like Oracle and IBM.
Correct. And then really, we are use cases. That's one of the exciting things about Splunk. In the 6 years that I've been here, there's never a week that doesn't go by that there's a new different type of use case, whether it's looking at it from a social network sites to looking at it from a cybersecurity. There's so many different ways. So just imagine life without Google. How long would it actually take you to find the information that you're looking for if you didn't have that capability?
And if you are a listener and want to get more information about use cases with Splunk, there's a conference coming up in May of 2012. It's May 15th. And it's at the Ron Reagan Center, and it's called Splunk Live. Is that right?
Yeah, Splunk Live. This is going to be our fifth year of doing it in D.C. Last year, we had over 400 attendees, and it's really designed to be for the customers to allow them to network and understand how Splunk is leveraged across various different federal agencies, hear from users that have used it for from cybersecurity to application management for cloud. So it's going to be an exciting event. We're also going to provide some training in a partner pavilion.
You know, what's interesting is that if you're listening to this interview and it's 2 o'clock in the morning in March and you're working in a PowerPoint presentation, but you want to learn about Splunk and you have a question, you might want to download the software, but you can go to this conference and you can grab someone and say, hey, you don't understand. This is what I want to do. And by the way, I work at the CIA and I can't tell anyone what I do and this is what I have to do. Can you folks help me? And I think that's the best part about conferences is that some things you can't send an email message. You have to be done almost face-to-face.
Exactly. And based on a lot of the feedback we had from last year, we're going to really tailor this to the morning. So if you want to send your boss in the morning to get the high-level stuff and then get down and dirty on the technical stuff in the afternoon and the tracks that we'll have, we've designed it for different levels of audience. So you can decide to stay all day if you like or just come and check out half the day sessions.
Yeah, it's really it's at Ron Reagan Center. It's near Metro. And if you have a very specific problem that you may or may not want to make public, this is a great way to do it. And face-to-face is so much better. There's so many things that I don't want to put in email anymore. I'd much prefer a face-to-face conversation. Earlier in the show, we talked about you being available in 74 countries. And you think about it. So you have a fellow who's sitting in, India, and he's challenged with monitoring a network. He can download Splunk, test it out, and then say, okay, Tony, we're going to get a couple licenses or something. So it gives that flexibility. And in the federal environment, they can do the same thing, can download it and then test it out and make a move from there. Is that how Splunk works?
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why we've grown fast globally, but especially in the federal government, because I know the challenges of being in a federal agency and how do you get a new product in? How do you evaluate it? How do you know it's even worth your time? And so we make it accessible to whether you're in a federal agency or your systems integrator working on some various different project or program. You can download the software and see its value within minutes. So, I mean, less than 10 minutes, you can install it, start putting data into it. I think today we have well over a million people globally that have downloaded this software. And then a lot of them obviously have become customers over time. But we want to provide that capability because our founders came from the running large data centers. And one of their goals was that we don't want to sell software and charge people $500,000 before they could actually see that it works.
And they've actually spent many, many hours looking through log files and beating their head against the wall as well. A couple terms here that I'm a little confused on. Splunk Base and Splunk Apps. What are those two different things?
So one of the things that we focused on in our company is really driving that data engine to take in this machine data in real time and help you analyze it. That takes a lot of work. So we want to make sure the performance is there to take multi-terabytes of data. However, you also need lots of critical applications that give you out-of-the-box functionality, if you will. So Splunk Base, think of it as the Apple's app store for Splunk. We have over 100 applications on that website that you can download for free that is either developed by Splunk or by the community. And it allows you to look at your data in a much more customized view. So, for example, if you're running Cisco, we have a Cisco app that allows you to speak Cisco language. We have various other applications, whether it's NetFlow data or whether it's for FISMA for continuous monitoring. We have a free app that allows you to map that to the various FISMA controls.
So we have network managers and systems analysts that really can understand logs and go through them carefully. But what I see now is many times, instead of going into the closet or into a data center, people may want to look at these with handheld devices. And so what's happened is Splunk has come up with a new version called Splunk 4.3, maybe responding to people at conferences saying, hey, I want to see this on my iPhone, or hey, I want to see this on my iPad. And that's what Splunk 4.3 is all about.
It is, and we've had a lot of demand. We've been growing where folks from the CIO level want visibility on their iPads and looking at the information with easy-to-understand graphs and charts. And so with 4.3, we have the HTML5 version in there that's non-flash. That makes it a lot more flexible for you to access this data anywhere because it also provides a web front end.
HTML5.0 is really... it's everywhere now, isn't it? I mean, that's the standard. That's how everything's being written. I mean, Flash has kind of fallen by the wayside in many areas, hasn't it?
Correct.
So if you have a device that can present information, it's not only for a system administrator, but it's almost for a business analyst as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, to give you an example, without going into details, exact customer, but a large telco. You have the CIO looking at it to see how calling plans are effective in each various different region. That's how high level you can make it, or you can take it down to the granular level to see basically IP addresses from a global view on a map and say, where are these IP addresses coming from? Are they coming from China? Are they coming from South America? To give you that holistic view, and then you can drill down into it.
So the application, I don't have to read between the lines here, is with security. I mean, if you look at these apps, there's got to be many different apps that are just focused on security.
Yeah, we have our enterprise security app as one of them that's developed by Splunk and originally with the help of our partners, but now we've taken over that and a high demand. We have other free applications as well that look at, you know, the other aspects of security. So from PCI, for example, that's a big one in the commercial and some in federal agencies. It's a use case. And in federal government, one of the things that actually everybody thinks of Splunk as is only a security tool. And globally, our revenue is actually much larger than the non-security use cases. So, you know, looking at federal budgets and then how you have to do more with less right now, it's important to note that you can use this to also monitor other aspects inside your data center and as well as use it for cybersecurity.
For example, you know, talking about radio here, National Public Radio downtown here, it uses a software for advanced web analytics right there. And I guess they're trying to find out where their listeners are coming in from.
She had the classic big data problem, and she had various different analytic tools, and it was taking her months to actually figure out who was coming to the website, which segment of the show were they really looking at, how do I get this information in real time and understand what the user was doing on the website. She came across Splunk, and I think within a much shorter time level, she was actually able to ingest that information, start doing all sorts of analytics on that data from a web analytics perspective.
Now, it's interesting that web analytics are based on machine collectible data, and if you start with a program that has the history of collecting the data, you may get better results or more interesting results. I never thought of the 200 different applications for very specific type routers, but take it to a meta scale at NPR, millions of listeners, millions of viewers trying to figure out what the most popular shows are, but you may have a website application for the federal government where you're trying to find out what applications are popular or what information citizens require. You can use web analytics with Splunk to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about Splunk 4.3. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Ayaz, Vice President, Splunk Federal.
Profile America, Tuesday, February 28th. The college basketball season is in full swing and millions of fans are eagerly watching high-scoring games on television. The first player to score 1,000 points in a season was Johnny O'Brien, who scored 1,051 points in the 1951-52 season playing for Seattle University. His twin brother Eddie was on the same team, which had a stunning win over the Harlem Globetrotters that same season. The brothers also played together on the Major League Baseball Pittsburgh Pirates. Johnny also played with the St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Braves. Now, men's college basketball games are watched by nearly 33 million fans each year. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Dude, check out my new Pioneer DEH44 car stereo with built-in HD radio technology and new HD2 HD3 channels.
HD2 HD3 channels?
Get with it, man. HD2 HD3 channels are all these new free digital radio channels.
How do I listen to them?
With the new Pioneer DEH44 HD radio receiver. It's only $120 at Walmart.
Walmart? That's cool.
Yeah, just go to hdradio.com and check out the station guide. They're adding new channels all the time.
Learn about HD radio technology at hdradio.com. More radio, more value.
AU fans, be a part of the excitement as March Madness returns to Bender Arena. Postseason tickets are on sale now for the 2012 Patriot League Men's Basketball Tournament beginning February 29th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at $6 for youth and $12 for adults for individual games for great chairback seat locations. Don't miss the action as the Eagles make their run back to the NCAA Tournament. It all starts February 29th with the quarterfinal round from Bender Arena. To secure your tickets, visit AUEagles.com or call 202-885-TIXX today.
Life's big decisions require some research. You get comparison reports before you buy a car. You hire an inspector when buying a house. You might even look up someone online before a date. But when you go to pick your primary care physician, sometimes you only get a name and number. That hardly seems fair. After all, the only person who has more influence on your health is you. It's different at Kaiser Permanente. All our doctors are listed online with information that paints a picture of who they are, so you know you're picking a doctor who is right for you, right for your family, and someone you can email. Oh, here's one for Dr. Amy Benoulis, who went to Northwestern. Dr. Lindsay Strickland is interested in chronic disease management and is accepting new patients. Bingo! Become a member, and no matter whom you choose, you get a true advocate for your health. So log on to kp.org/doctor and check us out. It could be the beginning of a healthy relationship. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio. Join me this week for my special guest, Len Wolf, president of The Wolf Group, an international tax and investment advisory firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
The Chambersburg, Pennsylvania Half Marathon on March the 10th. The early registration deadline for this is March the 2nd, which saves you a little money. You get a special techno fabric T-shirt, I think. This is a really pretty area up around Chambersburg. And you can find out a lot more on page 21 of the February Recreation News, or, of course, at recreationnews.com.
I think I'd be a little hungry after running a marathon. Anything for the foodies out there?
Sure. Just up I-270 in Frederick, Maryland, they're having their restaurant week March 5th to the 11th. Frederick has really become quite a food destination recently, with a lot of good chef-owned restaurants and so forth. The lunches during their restaurant week start at $15.12, and dinners begin at $20.12. All depends on whether you get a two- or three-course meal. You can find out more, and you can even book a table at frederickrestaurantweek.com.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Ayez, Vice President, Splunk Federal, talking about the capabilities of Splunk. In general, it's a log management solution, but in particular, it helps with many different aspects of your whole network, moving to the cloud, aspects of analytics and security. And what they've done is they've taken their basic tools that are so popular for the last 7 or 8 years and made them easier to use on a lot of devices and mobile devices. And we started talking about Splunk 4.3. So, Tony, give me a couple characteristics of Splunk 4.3 and why it's making life easier for my listeners.
Sure. So Splunk 4.3, really, the key things are performance. It's 10x faster than our prior version. We also, as we mentioned earlier, has the mobile capability, so you can run this on your iPad or other mobile devices that you have. And then also allowing you to do more from a visualization perspective in the fact of features like Spark Lines, that think of it as a granular dashboard in one single view, so you can look at multi sources of events coming in instead of logging off from one dashboard going to another. It really helps analysts or C-level folks to see what's going on and detect patterns. And then also features such as Bloom filters that are inside the product as well, that essentially allow you to access relevant information versus irrelevant information in terms of how it's set in the data structures. And also we have other features in the product that allow you to use it for an LDAP, multi-domain LDAP. So if you have a lot of different environments, maybe in a cloud environment, that's relevant. Splunk allows you to use it in those larger contexts.
HTML5 and JavaScript, you combine them, it gives you a lot more capabilities to visualize data, doesn't it? So maybe my listener who has been looking at log files for decades doesn't have to worry about this, but perhaps you have to take it up to management and show them what's going on. All of a sudden, HTML5 and JavaScript gives you the ability to depict visually what you've been talking about verbally for many years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's essentially the geeks love us, the C-level and policymakers don't have any idea who we are.
So what we're trying to do is put tools in the hands of the geeks so they can convince their bosses to spend some money to make their life easier, huh?
That's what they try to do, and it's growing because a lot of the different mandates, as we mentioned, the continuous monitoring, or whether they're looking at cybersecurity attacks, it might be some high-level official that wants to look at report of data. Well, Splunk allows you to actually go extract that data. And the real value that customers see at the C-level is that, you know, I can actually get this report the way I want it in the next half an hour to an hour, depending on where they're at. They actually can pull the report versus other solutions I think a lot of the C-level folks are used to is like, well, I know I need this new view, but give me a couple of weeks, couple months, and I'll get this information. That's what really helps the C-level folks understand the value of Splunk, because it is so dynamic and flexible in that they can look at the higher level view, and then the analyst can dig deeper by drilling down inside of that dashboard to the actual raw event.
So an analyst can view this on an iPad, and it's 10 times faster than the previous platform. Is that right?
Exactly. It's a lot faster. Analysts can do a lot more. I mean, the problem with a lot of the other solutions are out there is that they have to know ahead of time what to look for. Splunk allows you to ingest all types of data, and then if you miss something, it's easy for you to go back and analyze what happened.
And that's what some people will say, especially the people down in the ditches. They'll say, let's not analyze the data as we're collecting it. Let's get it in and then take a look at it. It seems to be two different skill sets completely. Tell me about this term called a Bloom filter. I don't know what that is. Is that something to do with inappropriate data, or what's a Bloom filter?
So it's basically an element of data structure. What it allows you to do is when you're actually searching or reviewing information, the data is stored in different types of database buckets that we have. And what it allows you to do with the Bloom filter feature that we have is allow you to look at the relevant information instead of pulling data that's not relevant. So in other words, just making your search and access to information faster rather than having you search the whole entire database or bucket that you might have, it allows you to look at the high level, the key context of keywords that notify you that that information is not contained in that bucket, and allows you to get it that much faster. Now, that might sound simple, but when you're looking at terabytes and terabytes of information, a millisecond to a second is very important to an analyst that's trying to understand what's going on.
I'm putting myself in the perspective of a listener listening to this interview, 3 or 4 months from now. And what you really should do is you should be listening to Tony and then go to YouTube and type in Splunk, and you can probably get a video that'll tell you all about a Bloom filter, won't it?
Yeah, we're very good on content on our website as well as YouTube. You can even find a Splunk employee singing opera on YouTube with Splunk. So there's
a lot
of great
information. Well, I'm not interested in that, but there might be some listeners.
But
you know?
If you want background music, but no, if you want to know how our apps work, if you want to know what our general features are in the product, if you want to go technical, if you want to understand how it fits into big data, want to hear from our founders, lots of content on our website and on YouTube.
And there's blogs available, and it's blogs.splunk.com for the blogs about this product. Is that right?
Correct.
Some people like blogs. Some people like YouTube. You never know what people like. I'll be talking about this interview on my blog, which is called the Tech Tuesday blog. That's because I've been on the air on Tuesdays for 20 years here in Washington, D.C., and it seems to be appropriate to call it the Tech Tuesday blog. Now, I'm thinking about the opera singer, and many of the technical folks I know, they have these strange skill sets, you know? I mean, maybe it's opera. One of the founders of Hadoop, one of the people who came up with using Hadoop at Cloudera, he was a baseball player. He's a pretty good baseball player. It's like, what a strange skill set, and I think you need a lot of different skill set to understand this widely divergent amount of information that's coming in that's all unstructured. Machine data comes in. Look, in the last 2 or 3 years, we're getting data sets in now from devices we never even dreamt of 10 years ago.
Yeah, the explosion of data is just doubling. I think in the past, there's a quote out there, in a year's worth, we can get 10 years of data. So it's growing really fast. And for Splunk, really, we looked at this ahead of the cutting edge technologies such as Yahoo, where one of our founders came from, or others, and they used cutting edge technology to scale with large amounts of data. So we developed this based on what's called MapReduce, which Hadoop and other big data solutions that you might hear about there. It's really kind of the concept of how you address this data. And all that really means is guys like Facebook and Google and others develop their architecture on this MapReduce architecture. And that's what Splunk is. It allows us to really, we developed on that and allows us to scale really fast.
And I think our listeners should know is that you folks don't compete with Cloudera or Hadoop or any of these big data vendors. What you do is you make all information practical, or you work with that integration, you integrate yourself with that software.
Exactly. I mean, essentially, look at the Hadoop and the whole big data and Cloudera. Those are essentially development tools where you can do crazy things with large data sets, but you have to develop yourself. And so that makes it a challenge. Where Splunk comes in, that complements those environments. It allows you to put the data that you're trying to develop on Hadoop or other environments with Splunk. So you can actually index the data, know the data that's going in and what's coming out of it, and then you could use it for monitoring or security. Because think of the days back when you had that great developer that used all sorts of open source tools, but then they left. Well, they're no longer there. What happened? How did you get to that app? Well, if you actually leverage Splunk in this context of Cloudera or other Hadoop solutions, it allows you to be a step ahead and have a real-time monitoring solution capability in there.
We have listeners from 135 different civilian agencies. We have folks with .mil in their email address, and we have listeners who are in the intelligence community. And there may be listeners in the intelligence community that are challenged with troubleshooting data in restricted access production systems. And that's a challenge that they have, and they're always looking for new tools to be able to do that. And Splunk may be able to provide some of these tools.
We do. One of the key things of how we extract the data as it's coming in real time, it allows analysts to look at it as it's coming in. So I'll give you a specific use case, and we'll use financial services, but I think it applies to federal agencies. So a lot of the trading houses that you have out there, if there's a slow performing application or trades don't get executed, and it's really tough for a developer to get access to that production box for contaminating the data, not meeting compliance regulations, and other insider threat issues. Well, with Splunk, you can actually grab that data as it's going in and allow you to analyze it without having to contaminate or touch the production live data.
It's almost like a stream going by can be sampled safely, and then an analyst, whether it's a business analyst or security analyst, can make a decision based on the accurate data.
Not only making the accurate data, but also allow you to compare it against different data sources, not just a single data source.
Which is a challenge just in of itself. All of a sudden, you're collecting machine data. Well, machine data is not just a router. A whole lot more than just routers out there.
Correct. I mean, a lot of the agent consolidation is a big topic, and a lot of C-level folks out there. You can basically do a lot of things by custom development and putting agents and collectors out there. Splunk eliminates the need for that and allows you to bring in these multi-sources of data without having to spend months or weeks on it, as well as spending a lot of consulting dollars to make those things successful.
Agent and collectors, it sounds like a Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. It sounds like a spy game here. And maybe there's some spies who are listening that may want to take advantage of some of these tools. When we get back, talk more about Splunk. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. When we come back, we'll talk to Tony Iaz, Vice President of Splunk Federal.
On November 17, 2011, the future of air and missile defense changed forever. MEADS, the Medium Extended Air Defense System, demonstrated the first ever over-the-shoulder launch against a simulated target. It was an unprecedented breakthrough and proved that only MEADS, with its 360-degree coverage, can defend our warfighters against air and missile defense threats from any direction. MEADS has the advanced capabilities and reliability that the 40-year-old Patriot system can't provide and will cost half as much to man and maintain versus upgrading Patriot. MEADS 360-degree coverage defends more area with fewer assets and has the lethality to defeat advanced threats. Defending more, costing less. MEADS. For more information, go to MEADS-AMD.com. That's MEADS-AMD.com.
Paid for by Lockheed Martin.
What is the U.S. Department of Energy's human capital and workforce strategy? How is energy tackling the human capital challenges it's facing? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Michael Caine, Chief Human Capital Officer with the U.S. Department of Energy. That's this week on the Business of Government Hour.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Please join Jim Fleisig on Tuesday, March 6th at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month will be a CIO roundtable discussing secure information and intelligence sharing, live from the 2012 AFSEA Homeland Security Conference. Jim's guests will be from DOD, DOJ, and DNI. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Tuesday, March 6th at 12 noon on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by the AFSEA Homeland Security Conference.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, I've been learning about HD radio technology at HDradio.com, and I'd like to see what kind of HD radio receivers are available.
Easy answer. Here at Best Buy, we sell all kinds of HD radio receivers. Home, portables, car, boom boxes with iPod docking.
Cool. Are they expensive?
Nope. This Insignia portable HD radio player is only $49.99, and there's no subscription to listen to HD radio stations.
Sweet. Let's get started.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
In the beloved fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Ayez, Vice President of Splunk Federal, talking about log monitoring tools and getting more information. You can go to YouTube and get all kinds of short videos on this. You can follow Splunk at Splunk. That's their Twitter feed. My Twitter feed is at Ray Gilray, and I'll be referring to this interview coming up. All kinds of ways to get information, blogs and everything else. But this is a part of the show, Tony. This is a challenge here. We ask you 10 questions to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. And then my listeners get more personal information on you and find out if you're just a fake nerd or a real, true card-carrying nerd. So the first question is, what's the year your first computer bought?
1988.
88? That's reasonable. Year your first cell phone?
First cell phone, I want it's 91.
91? That was a pretty big size
92
one.
92 was a very big one.
That was a
very
four-pounder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have your own personal Twitter feed?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have your own personal blog?
Yes, I do. Not active, but I need to. Hasn't been updated for a while.
And what do you use for personal online backup?
Personal, my hardware. I have a device. I don't believe. Believe I'm a security guy of thinking of it's okay. Safer to keep your data local.
Okay, no problem. What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone.
Okay. How many apps do you have on there?
About a dozen.
A dozen? Okay. Do you own a tablet device?
Yes, I do.
You got an iPad, I see. What kind of social networking sites do you participate in?
LinkedIn is the primary one. Facebook is a secondary.
Okay. And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was paper.
Whoa, you're so close, yet so far away. A paper book. You're out of here, buddy.
I still have to read the newspaper and have to touch it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm reading a dead tree book myself, and I like it. It's just more comfortable. But my listeners just want to get a better idea of where they stand and see if you're a card carrier. I'll have to take this through to my UNIVAC computer at home and process and see where you rank on the scale. Trying to get a little more serious here. Splunk's been around for many years, worked with a lot of organizations and helping monitor logs. Tell us a little more about where you fit in here. I guess there are listeners who are saying, well, geez, do they compete with like ArcSight and RSA, or are they a completely different product? Where do you position yourself with companies like that?
That's a good question. I mean, we are completely different technology. A lot of the federal agencies initially think of us as a SIM vendor or a competing solution. And essentially, we're not designed to be a SIM. The SIM vendors, such as ArcSight, really do a good job of managing events. That's what they were designed to do. We came into being of machine data, taking all your logs, for example, in real time and scaling. So when we work with a lot of various different agencies, they have significant investments in these SIM technologies, but they've proven a challenge to scale at the large terabyte level. And they use Splunk actually to ingest this data. In some instances, they'll just use Splunk standalone. In some instances, they'll complement the two and have Splunk be the main data engine and feed into those SIM consoles. So companies like EMC to IBM, I know there's been a big consolidation of SIM vendors. So if you look at it, all the major players were recently acquired. And what they're trying to do is essentially attack big data from an appliance perspective. They're trying to attack it from a data warehouse perspective. So there's a lot of things going on in that space where they're trying to figure out how can you get SIMs to scale, whereas in Splunk does this natively as we've done since the first day we shipped it.
It kind of makes sense. If Splunk is based in San Francisco and you look at Facebook and Google and Yahoo and a lot of the technology that's out there and the creative minds that are trying to handle that type of architecture, it would make sense that Splunk would understand scaling right from the get-go. They'd say, well, of course we have to scale. We have to deal with all this machine information. We're not dealing with human-based information. It's machine information. And I guess the DNA is scaling, huh?
The DNA is scaling and disruptive, and so that's a hard thing for a lot of federal agencies. So a lot of the changes with the former federal CIO and CTO was great to see that they were innovators and bringing in new technology, new ideas. And especially if you look at the budget challenge that we have across The U.S., really, technology can actually help reduce it. And there's a lot of redundant technologies inside of federal agencies that need to be updated. And, you know, one of my personal hopes or dreams are that, you know, that the procurement cycle of adopting new technology gets easier in the federal government.
I think everyone's hopeful of that. You know, a lot of use cases out there for Splunk and taking in data. And if you want to get more on, again, it's in May 15th. What's the name of the conference again?
Splunk Live.
Mm-hmm. And you can go to splunk.com and get more information on that conference?
Correct. Splunk.com, or viewers, if they want to register in advance for our event, they can email at fed@splunk.com.
Well, if we take a look at the next 5 to 7 years, awful hard to predict what's going to happen given what happened in the last 4 to 5 years here. Where do you see Splunk heading, and what kind of challenges do you think Splunk is going to have to overcome, and what new areas do you think Splunk's going to move into?
5 to 7 years, I think we're just getting started. And even though we're a growing company, lots of things are happening. Just based on the different use cases, everything that we've just discussed here today, that's a lot, right? We're talking about essentially 75% of the various different functions you can do inside of IT, application management, security, cloud, compliance, et cetera. So there's a lot of room for us to grow. So in 5 years, I look at us as being kind of the next the oracles, if you will, of the technology stack that people will have inside of their data centers, that if they're going to do something in IT, if they're going to look at large data sets, they're going to have Splunk in there. There's going to be a crowded space. I think other folks are seeing what we're doing. They're trying to get in that space, but we have such a leap ahead in terms of scaling to this data that I think more people are going to probably do technology similar to us, but maybe even leverage our engine to build their applications on it because it does scale. So companies like Cisco, for example, OEM our solution now inside their Ironport product, and I see a lot of that happening down the road.
Yeah, and the first part of the show, I started talking about a wireless router and just getting information from that. I mean, everyone thinks of Cisco when I think of routers, and if you think of machine devices and analyzed networks, I mean, routers are the most logical thing that you have to come up. And if you work with Cisco and not compete with Cisco, I think that's the whole thing. I don't know if Cisco would want to build a product that would be able to collect data from competitors' routers. It doesn't make sense for them, does it?
No, and again, it allows him to really leverage our technology and do what we do best in the area of data analysis. And the other thing too for Splunk, why it is being adopted, why it is growing, is that price is, you know, everyone's price sensitive these days. So you can take our free version or start as little as $5,000 and grow, go up to 7 or 8 figures beyond that, depending on your deployment. So Splunk makes it very easy for you to make an initial investment and really see if this is going to meet your needs and scale the way you need it to scale.
So can I get trained on Splunk? Can I get certified in Splunk? Or how can I apply for a job and list as one of my qualifications?
We do, and it's actually in high demand. We have online constructor-led courses that allow you to become Splunk certified. We have a large partner community that and systems integrators that have become certified on Splunk. And soon in the next couple of months in Bethesda, we have our Center of Excellence opening up to customers that can come and see the various apps that we have that are interested in seeing how it actually operates in a real environment.
Well, I've been kind of beating around the bush on that, and I said it in the earlier block about people in the intelligence community. You know, I look at some of the characteristics of Splunk, and I say, well, you know, there are people in the intelligence community that can really, really use some of these applications, and it may behoove them to go to the Center of Excellence where they can go up to Bethesda, take the Metro up there, and just sit down and ask dumb questions discreetly.
Yeah, well, you know, yes, they can, and I would have to say that without divulging too much information, but the Intel and DoD agencies have been using Splunk for a number of years. Taking large data sets, and that can change from a daily or hourly basis, and basically honing in on the key aspects of the data they want to analyze. In other words, getting rid of the noise. So Splunk has been really effective for the DoD and Intel agencies.
So you don't compete with companies like ArcSight and Symantec at all, do you?
You know, we compete at the end of the day in terms of probably budget dollars and other areas, but from a technology perspective, it is not an apples-to-apples comparison of the two.
Great. So May 15th, get more information downtown, Center of Excellence opening up. My listeners get all kind of information about creative solutions for log management. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tony Ayaz, Vice President for Splunk Federal. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.